Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We're just three gals that like to sit around, drink coffee, and talk about true crime.
True crime.
And what coffee are we drinking today?
Oh, today we're actually drinking It Coffee.
It's coffee.
Coffee that I got when I went to the It Escape Room here in Las Vegas. And yeah, it's delicious and it smells amazing.
Yeah, it's real yummers.
Yeah, so, and it's also just a little spooky. Thanks, Pennywise.
Thanks, Pennywise.
Thanks, Pennywise.
How is that escape room? I think you guys both have gone to do that.
Not yet. Not me.
I mean, like individually?
No.
Oh, you didn't go yet.
Not yet. But we're gonna. So I did chapter two. We meant to do chapter one, but we did chapter two. But we've seen all of the movies, so it doesn't matter what order you do it in. But it was really fun. It was great. We had a really good time, and we were with another couple, and that was really fun. And they kind of like have characters that go with you throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're essentially like if you get stuck, they're the ones that help you.
Yeah.
But it's a character that's kind of based around someone from the book or film. And they go with you throughout stuff, which is cool. And they trade off. So, like, one, they end up, like, something happens to them and they have to disappear or they get taken or whatever it is. And another one shows up to help you.
I'm just another kid that goes to the school.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's it.
I'm the guy that always has coffee in the diner.
Yes.
I don't even know anything about this story. It all kind of happens outside of my circle that I run in.
I'm Jimmy Buffett. I'm the guy with the margaritas in Jurassic Park. I don't know how I got here.
What's happening?
I'm very confused.
But all the like rooms you go into look exactly like you're walking into the film.
Good sense.
It's incredible. Yeah, mm-hmm. They look amazing, and that was one of the coolest things. I wanted to stay in all the rooms longer because I just wanted to look at all the stuff.
Yeah, fair, valid.
Because it was just really cool. And then at the end, when you exit both of them, you come out, obviously, to, like, the gift shop. You know, there's also an arcade in there. And there's a mini museum right now where they have actual props. They have all the bikes.
Cool.
They're all from the actual movies, which is really cool. So it was really fun.
That is really
Recommend.
Fun.
Yeah.
Go to escape rooms.
It
feels like you're solving a crime.
Solving a crime and stopping a spooky
time.
Pennywise creature.
Clownman. Isn't that a thing in the Stephen King world where like there's like there's equal opposite reactions, like there's like good and evil type thing?
Oh yeah, I think so.
So I think in the It books, somebody was explaining it to me that there's a turtle.
A turtle?
Yeah, there's
in the
some
book?
In the book.
Like, oh, I haven't read the book yet.
Okay.
I have it on. It's on my list. I'm reading it next year.
From what I understand,
this year.
Book has a lot of stuff. Book has a lot of stuff going on. Like the book has like a child orgy.
Yes,
that
that's what I've also heard.
Yeah,
that doesn't
happen
in the movies, but
no, of course not. I was hoping
not. Oh no,
that'd
no,
be
no,
so
no.
weird.
No.
But the but there's something about like the good, like if, because it is like an ultimate evil, there is like a good somewhere, and it's like a turtle, some sort of time traveling turtle.
Oh my God,
I don't know.
I love that it's a turtle.
But yeah, so.
Well, I'll let you know. You know, it's a really big book, but I'm gonna read it.
Excellent.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'll be scared.
I don't even think
I
saw the second movie. It's
oh,
not.
Really?
I'm just somebody that I'm like okay, and then if it's on, if like everyone's around, we're like we're gonna watch it too. Then I'm like all right, cool. But there's tons of things where I'm like. I heard it was good, so that's good.
Yeah, I think that it is really good. So I watched the newer ones first. So when I was a wee lass, I walked in on my parents watching It, the original, obviously, with Tim Curry. And it was at a very scary point, and it scared the crap out of me that I, like, did not watch the movie. Even when I started loving horror movies, I was still too scared to watch the movie until I went and saw the newer It. Mm. And then watched the second one, and then finally watched the original.
Mm.
And it was so much fun, because, you know, it's Tim Curry.
Yeah.
And it's got spooky stuff and stuff, but it's Tim Curry.
He's a sweet.
That's great. He's a great Pennywise.
Yeah, I remember that, like, him with his little bloody mouth, sharp bloody mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, please. That's
funny.
Scary.
It is also one of the first, like... It was on TV, right? When it first came out, it was like a made-for-TV movie or something like that. But
I don't know.
Like with the Tim Curry version, I could be wrong. But I remember hearing, I don't know if it was like I Love the 80s or like some VH1 thing with like Michael Ian Black, like one of those panel shows,
uh-huh.
where they said it was like the first time in a movie where like a kid died. like when they were when the first one came out. You know, you're like, oh, like Georgie's gone. Like
Georgie is gone. Yeah. Like right away.
Yeah. He's gone. So it's one of those like as a kid watching it, you're like, whoa, kids die. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, mortality.
So that was like a point of that for a lot of people was like seeing another kid, like someone their age, die. They're like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that it messed me up for a long time. Clowns. I was really, I'm still scared of clowns, but not as bad. I used to like cry. Yeah. I don't anymore.
It's like I never trusted mall Santas.
Sure.
I mean, you shouldn't.
Right. Don't trust
Well, like, and I wasn't, like, I knew, like, Santa was a concept because of commercials, but otherwise, like, my mom was like, I bought you this stuff.
I'm taking credit for that. Take credit for the hard work I did all year to buy you nice things.
I think, and I was also the youngest of, like, four. So, like, I didn't, like, once they were done, like, with my cousin, they were like, we have to do the Santa thing one more year.
Yeah. Again. I don't want to keep doing it.
Yeah, so it's just easier. Plus, they knew that the other kids would have just told me. So I think they just, like, maybe they did. That's probably also why I probably just didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. But like, mall Santas creep me out. Clowns, not so much, but only, I don't know. But I don't like, I don't like situations where clowns are like pretending to not like there's a room at a certain haunted museum here where it's just clowns standing around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't like that one of you. It's the mascot thing, I think, because it's a mascot like Santa. Like you're a person in there. You know that thing? I'm like, I can see right through you. It's the like walking through the room where like some of them are frozen and some of them are people, and like at least one of them is gonna jump out and scare you. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want that. I just want to look at dead people stuff.
Yeah.
don't scare me with your clown hallway.
We just saw, recently saw Thanksgiving, that new horror film, newish horror film. And there's this bit where there's like a parade happening and there's a scary clown there. And I'm like, why is that scary clown there?
What are you
doing at a Thanksgiving parade? What are you doing here?
Otherwise, I think we just know enough clowns. And I also am a clown sometimes. So I'm not, I just know it's the people. I'm always so afraid of the people.
Yes.
I'm just like, what are you doing?
But I grew up too close to Gacy. So. Well, and I was going to say. Clowns. And then also Gacy.
Yeah, I was like, why don't I trust them? And it's like, oh yeah, because I've been hearing about this story for a long time.
Mm-hmm. That scary clown guy.
Speaking of clowns. You want to talk about some absolute clowns?
a pair of clown shoes.
Pair of clowns.
I feel like we should start this by saying that we are just three girls who are just sitting around
drinking coffee,
discussing some like documentaries and podcasts and things that we've listened. This is just our opinion.
Yes.
So like, it's just our stupid opinions. I'm just putting that out there.
Joining us at the breakfast.
Everybody,
nook.
Just be cool.
We don't have anything.
We don't have anything.
Literally, we don't have anything.
Yeah,
I have no assets you can seize from me. Yeah. I got nothing. We're just three random people sitting at a breakfast nook. So I have nothing that can be taken from me because I literally have. I'm zero.
We have nothing but opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, we are just sharing our thoughts on something we watch that is for everyone to watch who has a streaming service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're not saying anything that we didn't see on there.
That's true.
So,
that's it.
But just so we've all said that. And with that,
the
ladies already know what we're talking about. But Beans, have you ever heard of Twin Flames Universe?
And say it without laughing. I just,
you guys are my twin flames.
Okay, I haven't looked this up. So was that a term that already existed?
You are twin.
Twin flames?
I don't know.
I'm sure. Just because I had heard
of it. They probably own it now, though.
Yeah. But one time I was at a bar, and then this guy was a very muscular guy. Oh, no! I'm lying. I was sitting at a bar after a shoot that I did with this person. He was like a guy in a suit or like whatever. And so when we were at the bar afterwards and then we're talking and he was like telling me that he had this was years ago too. So I don't know if these things synced up or it was just the language that he was using.
Sure.
And he's like a yogi and all these other things. And that's where he kind of got it from, was like that side of spirituality stuff. So there's like usage of it somewhere, right? Yeah, other than just this one group. And they had to have gotten it from somewhere, right? But he was like, we were talking about something and I was like, oh, thank goodness. I was like, yeah, I'm not really trying to like flirt with anybody. I'm just trying to work. And he goes, oh, no, my twin flame lives in Colombia. And I was like,
oh,
what? And I like it like. At first, I was like, oh, he's just using that as, like, his really serious girlfriend person. Mm-hmm. And he was like, but he did, he was just, like, telling her that it was just his, this girlfriend they had met on a gig, and then they fell in love, and she lives in Colombia, and he's like, you know, and they're just trying to figure it out. But that was, like, the first time I ever heard the words twin flame was just a person, this, like, very spiritual guy, but not godly spiritual, like, universe spiritual, astrology spiritual, that, like, use that those the two words together in talking about like a partner. Like, doesn't matter where she is, like she's, it's like soulmate. It was kind of like I took it as you're just using a fancier, you're just being fancy when you say soulmate.
Right.
I mean, it almost can originate back to Greek mythology.
Okay.
According to the myth of is it Plato? Yeah, Plato's Symposium. My brain, my mouth won't work today.
That's okay.
Humans were once forced with, oh my God. Beep, beep on my life. According to the myth of Plato's Symposium, humans were once formed with four arms, four legs, and a single head with two faces. This is like Hedwig. However, their power and potential for great deeds threatened the gods in their divine wisdom. Zeus split each human into two, creating the concept of twin flames.
Oh, okay. But I know that story.
I really prefer Hedwig's version.
Listen to
the origin of love. Origin if that's of not love. Something you're already familiar with. Because that's a beautiful way to put it.
Oh, it is. That's wonderful.
So,
okay.
But that was like the first time I had ever heard that even said before, even watching the documentary thing on Netflix.
I hadn't heard that term, I don't think, ever until you guys started saying it. I don't, at least it's not something that stuck in my brain if I had heard it before. But when I heard it, I assumed it was like soulmate, person you're supposed to be with, you know, soul
context
sister,
clues,
whatever.
Yeah,
you can sort of figure it out. And then I'd seen a piece of art done by an artist that I like, and it was like a rendition of like Jack and Sally from Night Before Christmas, and it said, "You're my twin flame" on it. And I was like, okay, I gotta figure out what this is.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
What is this about? And then it wasn't until you two started like talking about the documentary that really piqued my interest into watching it. I wasn't gonna watch it, but I did. Because
I had so many feelings, and I needed everybody else to have feelings with me and to talk about it.
We always have feelings
with me.
I cried everything. I will say that by the end of the first episode, because I binged all three of them, and they're just under an hour, by the end of the first episode, I was crying for multiple reasons, a lot of feelings and anger and sadness and all the things, and I did not stop until the end of the third episode.
Right.
Yeah.
It becomes about, you know, just a fast, like, take a dip my toe into, like, what I'm sure we'll get into later with the discussion about it. But it becomes about just the core thing of just people really want to be loved, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's, like, so heartbreaking for people to seemingly, allegedly take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And to be shown with their own faces and mouths.
Yeah.
So it's a documentary that was made. It feels a lot like the Scientology one that Leah Remini, whatever her name is, she does, where it's like someone kind of giving their talking head of like not being a part of this thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then like clips of like actual clips of like the two people talking,
right?
And so it takes a minute and a while, and like if you're I assume if you're listening to this, it's because you've either seen it, like, so we will talk about spoilers and stuff, just a heads up here,
because, maybe, like, go watch it first before you listen to this episode.
Because like otherwise it's out of context anyways, so I'm gonna just assume that people have watched it so that we can like talk about the whole thing and be like specific. But like you get to this point where you're like, how can they have all of this footage of them, like, saying stuff, like, easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and then, everything was done over Zoom.
Right.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, one of the people in the documentary, like, has a hard drive with
everything.
Their whole, like, everything on there.
Yeah.
including stuff other people weren't meant to see.
Private, like, deleted things.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, because the whole first episode, I'm like, how do they have this?
Yeah.
How do they have this? But I started looking it up. How do they have this footage? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, they're going to reveal it in the next episode.
Yeah.
How they've gotten this material.
Yeah. So it's just crazy to, like, know, there's, you know, so many documentaries out there that just kind of have, like, the people telling the story. So this was one that kind of stood out to me, just as a person that likes to learn about stuff in general, is that they actually have, like, the footage of what's going on.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, just to take a step away, because I have, you know, ADD, is Defunctland has his documentaries about rides that aren't around anymore are paired with the history of the ride, but then there's footage of the ride. So you kind of get to go through the experience of, like, going on it way after he's just talked about it. So like, it's that kind of thing where it followed through with, like, finding out the information with, like, people and footage and, like, all this other crazy shit.
Yeah, I really liked the structure of the documentary itself, like, just how that team edited and designed the flow in which we're telling the story. I thought it was really easy to follow, and it pieced the puzzles together really well, I felt like.
Yeah, I get really, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I watched this with Carolyn, who is the hidden secret other host, essentially.
Yeah, like, music host.
Yeah, she's our music host. Yeah, you hear her every episode as well. Yay. She composed our theme song and all the interludes and stuff like that.
Yay.
So, but she and I were watching this together, and we get exhausted if they, like, take too long to kind of get to the point of, like, what's going on. There's this one where it's, like, they just keep talking about, like, how much a person meant to them. And I'm like, I get this. But, like, what are we, like, it's got four more episodes. And, like the staircase one that they did on Netflix.
Yes.
I was like, can we just get to, like, the point of, like,
just get to the owl, okay?
Yeah,
get to that. What's, like, the owl theory?
Like, they will just circulate around, and, like, they just circle, like, there's some documentaries that do that where, like, it's like they take a point and then they get that point being said kind of by, like, four or five different people, and they, like, split between all their talking heads and then show, like, a picture of a house. And then, you know, and I'm like, get to the next thing that happens, like, I want to know. But with this one, it just kind of, even though every documentary, you know, has bias, it still kind of went with, like you said, like, a good flow.
Yeah, the way that they presented the story with the people talking about the experience, showing actual footage of the moment they're talking about, which I thought was fascinating.
That had to be so hard to watch.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Because, like, we specifically are in that generation where, like, a lot of the stupid things that I did as a kid are not on the internet.
Nope.
And I don't have to rewatch and relive them. Mm-hmm. But my God, if they were, like,
just the, like, stupid people I justified dating and, like,
I mean, let's be real. That's kind of what, we've all done crazy things when our brains weren't fully developed yet.
Yeah.
And like, could be manipulated.
You're talking through very, like, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, like, I just wanted to say, like, it adds to the thing, but it's like, but I just wanted to be loved so badly that I let things go that now looking back on, I'm like, my God, Amanda, what did you put up with?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. But I felt for these people so much because absolutely when I was in a point in my life where all I wanted was to be loved and find love and you're doing anything in your power. But these people, not only are they manipulating them, like, I know you want to find love, we're going to guarantee that you're going to find love, and we're going to push you into love with the first person you find, basically. It was just so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And we'll start there before we get into the whole, like, making them change who they fucking are as a person.
Yeah.
Which is horrific. But okay.
Yeah, because that's all really good points. Like, I figured we could talk about, like, how we each heard of the thing, what it is, and then we can kind of delve into, like, what is this thing that we were talking about? What is the twin flame thing? Like, what is that, right?
Yeah.
Especially because I'm interested in what we each took away from, like, and you kind of just said it, where it's, like, manipulating people into finding someone to love them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, an MLM.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Right? You have to pay for it.
You have to pay to take the classes.
Okay.
You got paid a tiny bit if you were a teacher.
Okay.
But it's most of the money started by went a couple.
Yeah. Started by a couple, which, like, I didn't even I don't have to, I guess, think about their names. So, they started by a couple, right? That was, like, they were like church people, right? They like the churchy stuff.
Not quite yet. I don't think they were churchy at the beginning.
They were spiritual. Yeah. They were very spiritual.
Because she's got like Reiki reflection videos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so, yeah, that's right, because she,
like... wanted to be a guru that cured cancer at one point.
Ugh, don't we all? That would be so cool if I could just do
just
that.
Just like, and cancer's cured, because fuck cancer.
Right, because, like, I don't have to go to medical school, but I'm gonna cure cancer.
Yeah, buddy. Like, we all wish that, too.
I had, like, an interesting experience for me. So, like, as a yoga teacher and as a person who's, like, gone through, you know, a lot of different classes and stuff like this on, like, different sides of yoga, spirituality, all that different stuff. And, like, also then understanding the two very different worlds that happen in the world of whatever yoga, that whole new vibe thing, is there is a side where it's people who generally just want to, like, help people. You know, maybe they don't ask for money. They just, like, get tips. You know, it's not going to be something that can truly pay for their whole life, but they just want to just help people. Then there's the people who, like, want to do that, but also understand the side of business, so they start charging things, right? And when I was taking these classes, what I was told is it's, like, the way to make your money as a yoga teacher is to then create your own yoga teacher program to then make more yoga teachers, and also retreats. So when you, you know, all these very expensive retreats that everybody goes on, that's how you really make your money is what I was told. And, like, that's just not something that vibes with me. That's not why I learned. That's not what I want to do. So that's why I don't, you know, actively, regularly teach anymore at a studio. I will randomly do stuff for you guys or, like, for my friends and their kids. Like, I randomly do stuff and I don't ask for anything except let's all just do this together. Mm-hmm. So, like, kind of seeing that happen in this, where it's this side that generally people can do and be nice and, like, actually want to help people, but they're taking it and he's got a business degree and they've made it a business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and, like, what's so funny is you talk about that and I feel like that also happens in acting and, like, where they're like, oh, I'm going to teach now and then I'm going to make a school which people are teaching, like, that's happened like 5 million times, right? And then, or, you know, I am now the only way I can make money doing this skill that I have, or, like, doing some, you know, like burlesque, for example, for me, is that it would have to come up with a class to teach something, and I'm like, yeah, I know there's things that I know how to do, but, like, how much can I really make doing that? And, like, am I going to have to take advantage of people? Like there comes a point where you're like, do I just get to, right? And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to slip the slippery slope of, like, an MLM. It's like, I like the idea of being like, it's a thing that I know how to do and I can teach it if it comes up. But it's not going
to
be something
and
I'm,
then
like,
it got so far to the point where they're like, okay, we have this thing. Now we're going to have these few people that can really, they're in harmonious union, so they can be teachers and they can do all of this. And then I think it got to the point where they were like, oh, fuck. Okay, we taught everybody how to teach our thing. How do we keep them here?
Magic.
I'm the Messiah. By the way, magic. I'm effing Jesus.
Well, even before that happened, though, they had the food program, right? They created the food. So now they've got now they have a whole thing where it's like, this is your meal plan. It's what you get.
And
buy your food
so
through
unhealthy,
us.
Yeah.
And people gained a bunch of weight. They also created additional classes.
Like super,
they created additional classes about, like, your career path and, like, how you need to unblock your career path to then help you find your twin flame. Here's those classes.
Yeah.
You know, they had, like, and then they also created the, like, I forget what they called it, but the, like, mental health spinoff, where it was that mirror program, mirror program on steroids. So they had all these other little things before he even became the Messiah.
That's true.
And
that's what triggered
becoming the Messiah, because he said, what's going to give me tax breaks? And then they looked it up, and that's what gives you tax breaks.
Yeah.
Is becoming a religion.
In a church, yeah. And also, it's so funny, because it literally just started as, like, this couple kind of, you know, testing out the whole, like, I know something and I want to teach people stuff with, like, having these Zoom meetings people can hop into. So originally it was just, like, people meeting up online to talk about relationship stuff. Like, it kind of started in that
They were trying to
direction.
Say, look at our perfect relationship. Yes. Don't you want this? Well, then just come talk to us and figure out why we're so great. Oh, wait, we'll tell you.
Right, and then people would pay for them to come do these, like, they'd come to, like, a house or, like, a like a church or something like that, because those churches are also easier to, like, have a room in, you know, in a meeting, like, a meeting space. And, like, people would show up and then talk more, and it just kind of grows and grows from there, right? So it starts with just this couple that was, like, business idea. Let's do this, right? And then it just snowballs into, like, that whole being high off your own supply type stuff, and you can just see it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, not understanding when to stop because they don't want to, right? Because it's like, well, let's just keep going. And I've heard a lot of theories about that. That a common thing that happens when you get to that, like, now I'm rich place is that you just keep going. You don't know when to stop and, like, essentially share the wealth, right? Mm-hmm. You keep going and keep accumulating for yourself. It's, like, a weird thing that happens. And they absolutely do that. They could have stopped. There's a great point, and they could have kept making money and it'd been fine, but they have to keep going. Still doing that now.
Well, that's the other thing with, like, corporations and businesses, right? Like, once you are a business, you have to make choices that feed the business. The business is the baby, right? And, like, so there's all these, like, pressures around you.
We'll get into the business
you.
Is the baby at the end.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So they...
Took our birth month.
Yeah. So, but they it's like you like have to make all these choices to like keep feeding that, to like keep it growing, because there's pressure to keep your – you can't just like be like, we're good, sustained, let's keep going this way. You have to like grow and get more money and do other things, because you start making choices that require more money and like all this other stuff. So it's just so interesting how quickly that gets out of hand when they are now having these – they're getting paid to have the meetings, have the people below them, and now they're like – getting this power to like do these magic ceremonies. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. They aren't just people telling you things. They like go away to magically go, I don't know, do something, and then they come out with partners for you.
Yeah.
Like, because then there's that. I'm offering you now something that no one else can give you. It's not just I can give you relationship advice. I'm gonna create something that now like no one else is capable of giving you, and that's like our magic side of us.
Right. Yeah. And then they also found the way to go back on themselves when they're wrong, right? Oh, yeah, this is your twin flame. Oh, no. Sorry. It's your false twin flame, which can look exactly like your twin flame. But there's these subtle red flags that we have to look out for. And sometimes we even make mistakes. But we're all about learning. It's a block. We got to figure it out. Now here's your real twin flame.
Right? Oh, my God. But yet they never had that kind of consideration for the people when they make mistakes, or like when like the relationship isn't working, like
when there's an 11-year gap between two people and it's not working, and they continue to tell you that it's not working, and you keep telling them that they're the problem. Yeah.
But they should go move across the country and be with them, and all of these are just obstacles, and you should stalk them. And even though they're telling you that you should go to jail for this,
After you've alienated yourself from your own family, so you can't even call your own family when you're in jail. You have to call the boyfriend that you've been stalking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, and then all they do is tell you that he's wrong. And then if you become obsessive over, like, finding the relationship rather than, like, doing your own thing, like, that's all she has to do is just worry about this and wonder why he's not working. And they're feeding her that.
They're feeding
time.
It to her, and all she wants is to be loved and to have their approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are the people that are going to find you, your twin flame, your love. And so if they do it, all right, I'm just going to do it, because I've kind of lost everything else, so I kind of have to keep going forward with this and just dig in my own grave.
Well, yeah, with the particular person that we're talking about, I think they're such a strong – they're all strong people. But like, watching some of the stuff that this person does in this documentary is incredible. And the fact that they really – stood up for themselves. Even when there was like that going on and they were being really belittled, they still would question things and like say another comment, but like, I don't think that it's working. You know, he was always kind of mean. Well, no. Like, she wasn't afraid to say stuff like that. And then when the jail thing happened, she ends up calling her parents after, like, she sits in jail for months. And they like get her out. And then she still stays in it, though. She still stays in the twin flame group. And they're like, ooh, they make jokes about, like, her being gone. And they're in these recordings. And then they try to get her to admit to stalking. And that moment, I mean, I was already crying, but I really was, because she's crying. She's like, he's trying to get me to say that I stalked so that he doesn't have to take responsibility.
Right.
But she never says it.
Good.
She constantly is like, no, I did not know they were going to be there. I did not go there knowing he was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And she stuck to her guns. And, like, just the stuff, the way her story progresses and how she got out is just incredible. And very strong person who went through a lot. And they all did.
Crazy.
But
they all did. And it's so crazy how there's, like, really good, stark, like, actual proof with everything, like, people that exist outside of it. And it just kind of still gets to go on. Like, it's like the Scientology thing. That Leah, that fucking Scientology show with what's her face? crazy.
I haven't seen this.
It's crazy. It just kind of makes you feel, I don't know, for me it just feels like it's like a hopeless thing because it's like such a big corporation now.
Yeah.
And they like own like some, I think like Clearwater, Florida. They own like some like town in Florida where they bought up like all the buildings and land but like don't really put anything else in there. So it's just like empty. And like it's just like weird. People just disappear. People have like all these stories, all this other stuff. Like there's like, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, cool. 6 episodes of this. And you're like, whoa, like 18 seasons. Like, it's like, it's like not that much, but yeah, there's so many seasons, there's so many episodes. You're like, how many times is this just going to keep going until we're just going to let this keep happening? What's the problem here?
I just saw, because there's like a commercial, Scientology commercial,
mm-hmm.
and I had gotten the audition notice for that. And I was like, nope. No, thank you. But I just saw it the other day and I was like, oh, that's the thing that I got a notice for. Mm-hmm. There it is.
There it is. No, thank you.
And like this, the Twin Flames group also does social media promotions, mm-hmm. commercial mm-hmm. things. And like that, it's just, again, it's that business corporation side of stuff. Like, we got to get more people because that's how we get the money. That's how this pyramid works. And it's just so crazy. And that same girl we were just talking about, how they were in charge of the media
mm-hmm.
and rerouted everything. Mm-hmm. It's just genius.
Yeah, it feels like it's just not, it just wasn't a fair... It's not fair in a world where everyone just feels so disconnected, even though, like, you can connect every day and apps are, like, so popular.
Well, and it was during COVID, mm-hmm. so it's almost like they had that, too, because people are already so isolated, mm-hmm. and then they have this online group. And in theory, you're like, oh, this is a group of other people who just want to find love. So this has got to be, you know, I can talk to them and talk about my boy troubles and my girl mm-hmm. troubles or whatever. Because mm-hmm. these are people who are also going through that. Because sometimes you're always like, I don't want to talk about boys to my friends. I don't want to bother them or whatever mm-hmm. it may be.
Yeah.
And so I can see why they felt like they had these friends in this community. Mm-hmm. And that's also what makes me so mad
mm-hmm. yeah.
is because they ruined their friendships, too. They yeah. went in and, you know, paired them up and ruined friendships that could have at least they could have gotten that out of it. Right. Because who's to say that, you know. We don't all need romantic love. If you mm-hmm. were to still at least get something good out of this and find a true friend, I don't know, would have been, just would have been nice.
Yeah, and like love is also not one thing, right? It's right. not a black and white thing. And right. love can mean so many things. And we talk about it more now, and I still feel like there's more we could be talking about. But like some people need different things for love. People love in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this group makes it very, this is how it is. You mm-hmm. need the feminine energy and you need right. the masculine energy.
Oh my that God. I was as soon it was like every time more time was spent with them explaining things, I was just like, am I losing my mind? Is there a gas leak happening?
Yes, like, yeah. It was like a kid telling a lie and they're like, "Well, I did it, so I just got to go bigger and bigger yeah. and bigger." Yeah.
I was like,
and
what?
I'm like, "Are you also cuz I mean, I don't know, like are you trying to hide what's inside of you as well, and you're trying to make excuses? Like, what's really happening here? I don't know. Why are you trying to tell people to change who they are? That's horrific.
Yeah. Why are
it's
you?
It's horrific.
Yeah,
you have the fucking right.
Mm-mm. No. And,
that's
like,
awful.
You are so, trying to think of the right word, like, suppressed, or, like, whatever that is. Like, what are you right. suppressing? Like, what's going on?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The lady doth protest too much. You know, like, mm-hmm. you're preaching this stuff a little hard. Like, but the masculine energy, feminine energy thing, like, blew my brain open. I was like, oh, that's boring and antiquated. Like,
yeah, and, like, you cannot be both. You must be only one
mm-hmm.
is crazy.
Like, right there. There's no absolutes.
There's no absolutes.
Yeah.
No.
No, because it's, like, I don't know, like, you can have a big burly dude around that also wants to be baby.
You can contain multitudes.
Some people want to be tiny spoon.
Yeah. Yes.
So whatever. Yeah. It's yeah. It's not a binary in that way where it's like one way or the other.
Because
then like who's to say what goes under each thing?
Right.
Like what
mm-hmm.
behavior goes under each thing? Like
right.
just depending on the culture, it might be totally different. You know.
Yeah.
So. It's there. It's the couple's definition of masculine energy and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. Feminine energy.
Feminine.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. And you know, just going back to, like, them not knowing when to stop, right? Had they done that, they wouldn't have to go back on all these lies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the business model, that's what they're calling, whatever, their business model was working, and they got greedy, and they kept going. And now what their business promised they can't do. So now they have to come back and say, well, no, it's this way. Well, no, it's this way. Yep. Well, actually, your twin flame has to be in the group.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was that. The other thing.
It became, oh, my God. Oh no. Because otherwise, you don't align on the same vibe, right? You guys all have to be in the same group. That's what makes the most sense. And then they started pairing people up. But the problem was that the majority of the members at that point in time were all identifying females. Mm-hmm. And now, oh, what do we do now? Oh, and now, since we've said you have to be masculine, you have to be feminine energy, now we're going to pair these people up because we've got this divine gift. And we're going to tell people you're not who you think you are.
Yeah. Wow.
And like...
Wow.
One of the professors that speak in the documentary does make a good point that, like, there is a chance that some of those people truly did feel that way. And this was, like, a nice door that opened for them. But there is no way it is all of them. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Statistically, no. That's just so highly unlikely. And it is, like, just a weird, like, what? To what end? To what end? So that you write? Is that it? Like, to what end to tell people to, like, that they have to change? Like, to, like, what is... Just so that, like, the picture is completed or whatever that you're painting. Like, it's just such an interesting thing to, like, get focused on.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, I don't know. What if you guys, like, it's always, like, the couple that's doing the most weird stuff that, like, is the loudest about this kind of stuff. So it's like, mm-hmm. What are you guys doing? Turn inwards. Physician, heal thyself.
Yeah, I mean, they're, from the beginning, seeing them was really interesting. Like, it felt. Very strange, like the distance between them, mm-hmm. weird and forced. Like, they've, you know, I'm just speculating, this is my opinion, but like that they're like, okay, these are the roles we're deciding we're gonna play. Mm-hmm. This is what we're playing.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't really see you being like super loving, but then they'll be like hypersexual with each other in front of everyone. Yeah. Right. And it's like, what do you do? What you trying to prove here?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, I agree. It is that what I said earlier. It's like, it's just the lady doth protest too much. Or like, you know, it's every relationship is different, right? And also, you know, I've said this before, you can tell the difference between when you are being farmed versus being hunted. Mm. And it just feels like it's two hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's, for me, the energy with them is one thing. It's the energy outwards, like, sitting next to each other facing everybody is what I'm the most like, oh, okay. Like, we've done so many episodes on couples that are, like, so high off each other's supply, like, mm-hmm. both manipulating mm-hmm. people at the same time. It's like, and then it's not always one person is, like, being manipulated by a master. It's like, sometimes it's two people. Just kind of like how we can just live our lives and manipulators will just find whoever. It's not that they find you. It's that they go through everybody and we just happen to be the ones that are like, oh, be your friend. But it's like that when I'm sure statistically they'll also be like, oh, we both are not very good people. Let's just work with each other. Like, mm-hmm. oh, fun. We can get people. We find that when we work together, people listen to us or like whatever it is. So that's the energy that most got me. Cause I was like, even if they aren't like whatever they want to do in their bedroom or not, or whatever that is, it's like up to them. It's like how them as a united unit, whether it's like romantic or not, are pointed at me with like what that is, like that whole experience mm-hmm. of like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna I feel like there's been enough couples that have tried to pick me up at bars that I'm like, no, like you see mm-hmm. it, you're like, no, I'm not, no, please. I'm here with my friends, I gotta go. No, you can't even buy me a drink. I gotta go. Like, my wife and I saw you from across the bar. Like,
Thanks, but no thanks.
No, thank you. I gotta go. That's, like, the energy I get where I'm like, what do you want? You're gonna eat me? What's gonna happen?
Yeah.
So that's just that energy faced in one direction is just a lot. I don't know how they handle each other, though, but that's none of our business. Not our problem.
No, I mean, it really isn't our problem. But it worries me.
I do wonder, like, because I know they were investigated by the FBI at the end, and they didn't really find anything yet, or they just probably said they haven't found anything. Or
as far as I think public knowledge, it's still an open investigation. There hasn't been anything that's like, I don't think they're taking them to court anytime soon.
Right.
You know, they're still sifting through, I think, evidence that has been gathered, and then trying to gather additional evidence. Because, like, some things might look good to an outsider, but mm-hmm. we realize that that won't hold up or that won't, right. you know, make the point they need it to make. Because mm-hmm. I know they got the group considered a, what is it, control... they say it in the documentary. It's like
at
a...
At the very end.
Yeah, it's like a... not mind control, but it's like a control group. Like, it is a group that is controlling, but it's not considered a cult yet. I don't remember what it was called. I don't know if they'll say it.
They're still kicking around.
They are. They are very much still kicking around.
They have, like, 35,000 followers on Instagram.
I mean, I'm sure some of those people are just like, I'm just here to watch. Yeah. I'm just here to sip my coffee and watch.
Yeah, also some of that.
I think they posted, like, a statement about the documentary, too. It just makes me wonder what now, like, if they lose people and if, like, what they say it's about. If they've known that it's been coming out for a long time, so they've been getting ahead of it by, like, defaming the people that were in it. Like, I just want to know what... I'm curious. I don't want to know because I don't really care. But I'm curious how they'll get themselves out of this one.
Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty-grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, literally it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook, 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER. That's MURDER at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Because the documentary was pretty... And I know documentaries are biased. I know that. And also, I don't know, man. It seemed pretty wonky to me. Seemed pretty suspicious.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like anybody that's trying to change people who they are at their core to better fit their ideal of what humans or love or whatever should be.
And that's they needed to fit into the business model.
Right.
Business.
At all costs. Doesn't matter. Yeah, they didn't, and it's hard because I'm like, you could tell that they just didn't really care about these people. Like, mm-hmm. you're spreading this word of love, but you don't love any of these people. They are just money to you. And he, like, there's a couple clips where he's just like, you're not fucking making me enough money.
Money. You are
like,
money.
Yeah, you're money. Like, whoa. They're human beings with feelings. I thought that's where we started, right? Wasn't this about love and finding your twin flame? But now it's about finding money for him.
Right. Yeah, it is also very interesting to witness somebody talk like that to people on a camera, like knowing that everything's being recorded.
Mm-hmm. High control group. Sorry. Okay. I found it.
Hi.
Like, okay. There's a term they were using in the documentary. So it is referred to as a high control group. So
that's... What is the definition of a high control? Like, does it say on there? Like, what do you have to be considered? What are the qualifications of a high control group? I mean, I understand they are controlling, but like...
I think that, I mean, it doesn't give like a, I mean, I can probably look up an exact
definition.
Because
I'm wondering,
definition.
Like, what makes it a high control group? And then what's that next step that makes it a cult?
Mm.
Like, at what point do we go from high control group to cult?
Ah, high control group versus cult.
Hey, thanks. Teach me.
I'm reading straight from the internet from, I think it's mywellbeing.com, maybe. What's the best way to distinguish between the two? Many cults are religious in nature, but there are also psychological, political, and secular cultish groups that meet Lifton's criteria. Don't know what that is. Any religion that claims to be the only true one is in danger of developing into a high control group.
Okay. Which I see, yeah, right, because we're the only true people that can find your true love for you, okay?
So it's, I think it's like,
but they're
cults
also Dr.
are...
Robert!
Okay, we got a better one, oh, definition.
Okay.
Dr. Robert J. Lifton.
I just looking
ah,
up
that's
the eight.
What, that's
oh, okay.
the thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you said that, and I
did.
I looked that up. The 8 criteria for thought reform.
Thought reform.
Which is what?
Mind control.
Mind control. So there's the... Milieu control,
which is the most basic feature, is the control of human communication with an environment. Like, they have that. They have the mystical manipulation, which is planned spontaneity. There's a demand for purity, confession, sacred science, loading the language, doctrine over person, and dispensing of existence.
So then why isn't the Catholic Church considered a cult?
Because they pay a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, okay,
okay. That's a lot of... Because they...
Got it.
Yeah.
It's a paper thing. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a
paper why thing. Is... I mean... here, I'll answer your question with a question. Why is every religion of organized people not considered a cult?
Yes.
Every
single one
of them.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, you're right.
Because all of them are kind of super fucked up.
I mean, that's true. And here's the thing, man. Like, if it's something that's going to help you not hurt other people, be a good person, do the best you can, and not, like, murder others, then, you know, that's fine. But if you're, I don't know, there's also so much danger that comes with all of these things, too. When you're in anything that is telling you we are the only thing, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Because
there
is, that's impossible. There are, like you said, there's no absolutes.
Everything I learned that from taking a true or false tests in high school.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We can
never
take
and always
probably false.
Probably false. Probably more likely than not false
because
we contain multitudes.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the coolest things about humans is that we are not one thing. We are multiple things. The things we do are multiple things. There's multiple ways to do different things. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see. Like, I believe their name was Angie. At the end, they were like, "I have learned a little bit more about myself, and I've learned that I don't have to be one thing or the other. Mm-hmm. I can make my own name of me, and this is what I am, and I am unique, and that is awesome."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's important to not get glued to expectations of what you think something should be, or like get obsessed over like a certain order in which you should do things. Like, I want to be engaged by the time I'm 25 and be married by this time. Like, life goes on, right? There's so many things that can happen. And so it's good to not have expectations because expectations are future resentments. So, yeah, you get hooked up on, if you get caught on an expectation for something, you're just going to be disappointed because it never works out the way you like exactly plan. Never does.
No.
There's always room for improvement and like switching things around and like changing energy and like being flexible and improvising. Like, there's always room for that in anything that happens. So just like finding love, you're not going, like, it's so much easier said than done, but it's not something that you're going to find in one way.
Yeah.
And to think that there's only the one way to do it, I don't know, really limits the capacity of it happening in a totally different way.
Yeah. You're right. It limits. There's so much more than just that. It's beyond limits. Mm. I read a cool, like, little excerpt a long time ago, and it was about the idea of a soulmate and how you have multiple soulmates for different things and in different chapters of your life. Mm. Soulmates don't have to last forever. Mm. Some of them might, but you have different soulmates for different reasons throughout your entire, you know, lifespan and then whatever happens after.
Yeah, we live long enough now for, like, people to have 2 30-year marriages. Mm-hmm. Like, and it is crazy to me that to have a successful marriage, someone has to die. Like, you can also just, like, finish the marriage. Like, it is so crazy to me that, like, a successful marriage is somebody dies. Mm-hmm. When, like, you can also just have a successful marriage that can end at some point because you guys were like, great, we did it, done. Like, it's also okay for that to be the case as well. So I think there's so much room for better things and different stuff and to be surprised and to find other things that are just as cool and then not think about it.
Yeah.
There's like other cool things in life that are worth your time and effort than just finding a person. And I get it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the way we're raised, society, the way the world works, we're really pushed to believe that that's something you got to do. And if you don't do it, you fail. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like now, in like things that have happened in more recent times, that it is trying to lean away from that idea. And, you know, the idea of, you know, a woman not necessarily having kids is like starting to become more that we talk about, or not even getting married. But it's still a really new concept because you're so ingrained as kids to, like, find a partner. Mm-hmm. Got to get married and get a job. Like, that's such an ingrained thing for so many of us as we grew up, and depending on the generation. It's wild to then, when you get to that age or go through an experience, to go, oh, wait, I didn't have to do it that way. Because I am one of those where I, you know, stressed myself out and, like, wanted to be the perfect kid and make sure I did all the things in the right order. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got married, I got divorced. You know, it didn't work out. And I'm grateful that I was given the support to get out of that mm-hmm. marriage, because it was bad. We weren't meant to be together.
You weren't being convinced by other people around you that, like, no, you should stay together. And no. this is meant to be. And
yeah.
My God. It's a struggle. Like, oh. Yeah. Fight through all those things that, like, that you guys both found weren't right for each other, and, like, sit and be uncomfortable. It's like, that's not you it. Have one.
It's not one all life obstacles. Yeah. Some yeah. things are game, like, are deal breakers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not everything's just an obstacle for you to get over. Right. Some things are like, oh, nope, that's I'm the wall. Go. We're yeah. done here.
Yeah.
This is where I draw the line.
Yeah. Yes. And both parties deserve to be happy and mm-hmm. have healthy relationships. And if that means separation, great. Go.
That didn't make them money.
No. Yeah.
It didn't Although make you'd them think money. That would be, they would just get ahead of that and have, like, a separation, like, aspect business side, like,
yeah, like Vegas did.
You guys are welcome.
Weddings and divorces.
Yes. You guys are welcome to take this idea. Also get involved with having the twin flame separation ceremonies. You guys should be there as they come in and on their way out.
So they're gonna listen to this and they're gonna be like, that's a great idea. And now they're gonna use it.
Yeah, they're gonna roll around on their money. They don't care. But
it's called the ice flame, where we freeze the flames to separate them yeah. and mm-hmm. we create a new flame.
Blow
for
them
you.
Out and we blow and then we now light a new flame. And then
well, you know, a wick is made of a bunch of different pieces, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you just take them all apart.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Done.
Well, it's actually really beautiful.
Thanks.
I really love that. But yeah, I mean, one of my biggest things, which I think we may have even mentioned earlier, is just the fact of trauma. Like, it's our duty, I think, to help each other and build each other up versus dig into that weakness and heartache and make it worse yeah. and make money off of that.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. And that's why I cried for yeah. fucking at least 2 hours of two of these episodes. I couldn't stop crying because I was sad. I was mad. I hurt for those people. I hurt for the people that talked. I hurt for the people that are still stuck. Like, I hurt for all these people because it's just crap. And they all deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
And it, no one has the right to tell you who you are. No one has the right to say who lives and dies. Like, that's just not how it is. No one has that power.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Don't give it to them.
You don't have that power.
Yeah.
You're nothing above anybody else. Everyone, we're literally all equal. We're all made of the same stuff.
What is that, like, matching? Did they get into what they did for those matching rituals? Was it just like they didn't say what they did? They just were behind closed doors or whatever?
It's that, yeah. It's that same idea of them calling out to whatever.
Like, what are channeling. They doing
channeling.
In there?
Channeling.
What are they doing? Are they speaking in tongues? Are they writing in a
No, you know what they're probably doing? Is they're writing down everyone's name. They go, which names sound good together? Okay, we could change this name though, because if we're going to change this person, they're going to make up a new name anyways.
Right.
They're casting a show.
It's like, that's it. They're casting a show or they're playing a game of MASH.
Mm hmm. Oh, that's nice. I'm so curious. I'm like, what are they doing? Is it just them sitting in a jacuzzi? Like, and
we'll never
they, like,
know.
Just
we'll
throw,
never know. I don't want to know.
That's between like, them and higher power.
I guess. I
just yeah, they know. Take everyone's names. They get in the jacuzzi. They
Is
throw
it like
them
what
up.
We do in here?
Yeah.
they take
spin
all
around.
The, yeah, spin around, have a glass of wine. And then they just use a computer program to just match names
that's
together.
That's it. You know, okay, so like...
It's an app.
That's just an app.
I kind of want to ask AI, who is my twin flame?
AI, who's my twin... I had this... I don't remember what it was called now, but I had this, like, little... I'm your twin flame. I had this little, like, game thing. It was, you know, when I was in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And you would, like, type in names of everybody, and it would match everybody up. And you'd be like, this is who I'm supposed to be. But it would always change.
Yeah.
Like, every time you did it, it wasn't always the same person, but it was that idea of the game. Like, oh, we're supposed to be matched up together.
What if it was...
Hayden is my soulmate. You know, like, it was that sort of thing.
Right. But, like, what if it... You know how, like, our podcast was started by Word of the Day calendars or, like, the...
Oh, yeah, the true crime.
True crime calendar. Like, what if it was, like, she found something in her garage that, like, does that, like, that same
yeah.
game?
Yeah.
And she's
yeah.
like, well, we could just use this. We could totally use this.
Yeah, we'll just put everybody's name and
yeah.
we'll pair them up.
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh, man, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And cults, I feel like, are, it's that same idea. This is why we can't have nice things, right? Because I think that the concept of how they start is good. Mm-hmm. It's about finding a community. But they've taken that beautiful idea and they manipulate people because they are narcissistic usually and want that power above people to feel like the other, the more important, the God, the whatever the fuck it is. But we're all equal, guys.
Well, that and, like, everybody gets to a point where they're like, well, how do we make money to survive in this society? And that's when, like, the business stuff gets weird and disconnects them from, like, people in reality, right?
Mm-hmm. I felt really bad for the people who were like, yeah, and then now I don't have this job anymore. And I did this weird job that it doesn't exist in the real world for however many years. And now I have to go be a real person and find a real job, but I don't have any experience. Like, oh, it's so hard. I just feel for them so much.
And then there's the other side where there were people in there who weren't making enough money and had to go get a second job. Mm-hmm. And then are like, I'm so glad I got that second job because now that's my job.
Dear Lord, pay my bills.
Yeah, pay your bills.
Yeah, because it also started with there was something there, too, with parasocial relationships where, like, the person is distanced. And a lot of those were created over COVID because people, like, turned to screens to see, like, humans, right? So tons of parasocial relationships. And some of them can be, like, healthy from a distance and, like, you know, you can be like, I like that person. That's cool. Or I'll always listen to one of their podcasts. That's really nice. It's when it becomes unhealthy, and I think that's they preyed on that idea of like the unhealthy version of a parasocial relationship where it's like they there's like a falseness to the closeness they're allowing these people in on. And that's like that was the thing that you I think was funny is the sexuality is like conflated with intimacy. And so it's an easier thing to be like sexual. Because, you know, I've been watching The Sopranos, right? And it's, like, so much easier to watch, like, there's this one. Okay, guys, just quick sidestep. There is this one exotic dancer in The Sopranos who has she has bangs. She's blonde. She has, like, bangs and, like, hair down to the mid-back. It's, like, the same girl who's always, like, twirling in the background whenever they're at the strip club. It's my favorite person. Every time she's on screen, we're like, yay! She's just twirling and her boobs are out. It's incredible. But there's like so much physical sexuality done on there, and like that's much more seen than like intimacy with people, right? Mm-hmm. So like moments where people are truly just kind of being close in each other's space and like not just like grabbing ass and like saying a blowjob joke, right? Mm-hmm. Like it is so interesting, even just in created mediums. Like it's just you see the guy slap the girl's ass and like all these things, but then a moment where there's like closeness and quietness, it's like that's you go like, oh, that's so sweet, when like they didn't nothing happened, no one grabbed a titty or anything.
No one grabbed a titty
and intimacy was achieved. So it is just funny that like if you're writing it, if we were writing this story and then you're writing this script, it's like not good writing, but people are so desperate. They prey off desperate people.
Yeah, and they have to keep them down. Otherwise, because you can't actually heal. Because if you actually heal, then you leave. So that's why they have to keep adding on to the, oh, no, 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 this is the new block you have to get through. Oh, no, no, this is the new thing you have to get through. There always has to be another thing. Otherwise, you're healed and you can go.
Well, then also, why would you pair somebody with a good person if that were the case as well?
Exactly, yeah.
Why would you do that? Because then they'd leave. Were there any success? I can't even remember it at this point now.
Well, I mean, there are considered successful relationships that are still in it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, anyone that left was like, great, we're still together. We got each other out. Yeah, I think that was, there was.
Because even that couple, they didn't stay together. They fought a lot. And I think that all that trauma, you know, it breaks a person.
Yeah.
And you know, they, when you look at each other, that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, that was one of the other girls was like, I don't think I could be her friend just because I'll never be able to unsee and unhear and unfeel all those things that we went through.
Oh, the sisters.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It all breaks my heart.
The one girl that's still gone.
Yep. Yeah. There's those twins. But there's also sister that got out, the two sisters, like that relationship. Literally, I've already said this, but everyone is so brave who speaks on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just sharing and being so vulnerable. And also, I really love that they had the ability and, like, the support to be like, I have to stop. And they show that, which I think is really important. Anytime you're, like, having a conversation, even if it's about a personal life or even just a story that you're telling, if there's a moment that you don't feel comfortable talking about or it's too overwhelming, having that safe space to be like, I just can't talk about this right now, or can we take a break? Because that's something we do for each other, too. Like, if we're telling a story and we need to take a break or take a step back or adjust how the story is told, we have each other's backs because sometimes you just can't go to those places.
Yeah, and I think even in, like, intimacy coordination, they talk about, they kind of lay all the rules out at the very beginning with the whole cast and everybody, just so that, like, everybody's on board. We all know what this word means. We all know what this word means. We all know that when you use this word, you can take a 10, and when you come back, we aren't going to have to go into it. Mm-hmm. We assume that you just went to go and then come back. Like, whatever that is, like, let's get back to work. Like, it's because we did the work up top with that. So that just shows me that they had the producer, whoever, intimate, whatever they did on that set, to be like, you tell us whenever you don't want to do this and we will stop. And that way they knew they could just say, I need to stop, without, like, powering through tears. Because it's also just not, it's tough to watch someone sob through something as well. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'd rather you take a break and then we can, like, not talk about it. Like, I don't feel worse for you. I already feel awful for you. Like, this is already bad. Like, you don't need to dig deeper into that for me.
I like the mothers not speaking to their children. Like, the group that, like, broke my heart. And then when they're like, I got a text message. Like, that's everything. How dare those people take away their children? You know, that's all I'm saying. Like,
that's the same with that R. Kelly, like, series, where it's all mostly just the families trying to get their daughters back, like, from his crazy harem of shit. That's another one of those where you're like, there's four episodes of this? Like, what? This keeps going? Like, oh my God. Like, four, like, full, like, series with mini episodes in it, that R. Kelly stuff. It's just so crazy how long certain stuff can go. Which is something that's interesting about this whole thing is, like, it's, I've watched, like, the ones about, like, the sister, not the sister wives, because that's different, but, like, the things in, like, Colorado City and Arizona of, like, the cults, the polygamist, like, colonies and cult things, where it's, like, it's so ingrained in their society that they're, like, three generations in, that they're, like, of course they can never leave, of course they can never leave. And it's so interesting to me is the same things that you hear them say on those, like, you know, stories and documentaries, sounds so similar, and this thing's only been around for, like, 3 years. You know, like, so it's, like, interesting how quickly something can take you away if it's just the right thing, right? Because for the religious, those hyper-religious, fundamental Christian families, it's, like, and they're not the only ones that do this with multiple wives, you know, and, like, families and, like, the kind of, like, neglect of some of the families and all that kind of stuff. But they're, like, that's their whole society. They've never known anything else. This is interesting because you've known so much else, but you're, like, rejecting it and going towards this thing that sounds better. Which is, I think, how people get involved with, like, they become Klan members and shit like that, too. Or, like, radicalized just because they feel like they've been rejected everywhere else. And this is, like, one that's, like, oh, right? This feels awful, doesn't it? So it just sucks that this was, like, it's under relationship things.
Yeah.
Like, it's for that instead of, like, community or friends or something to do. It's, like, they just truly were sad because they can't find a partner.
Yeah. And so they did that, but they also then the I don't know what they called it, but, like, the mental health thing, right? Where they go in and that person basically puts you in a hypnotic state to go through your traumatic memories, but is actually assuming things and implanting a different idea.
Woo. Yeah.
That's
awful.
Awful. Mm-hmm.
In simplest terms,
You have such a responsibility to be a good person when you put a person in such a vulnerable state. Like, it makes me so angry that they're getting taken advantage, they're taking advantage of a person in this state. Because, like, even when I was teaching and, like, you put people in Shavasana, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all just, like, laying around and they're meditating, they're doing whatever. That's a vulnerable place.
You're not going to walk up and start tickling people?
No!
Like,
oh,
I
would never, like, start telling a story to, like, put trauma into people's brains. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how a person with not the appropriate training feels like they have a right and a duty to go in and mess around with stuff they don't understand.
some people just didn't really deal with consequences in that, you know, like they never were shown that that's a bad or like it's had that feeling like that is a bad.
It's a bad.
You shouldn't want to do that. That's not a good. No. That's a bad.
That's a bad. That is a living person. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes it's a hard concept for people to understand that there's like people in the world that also have their own lives and like their own movie essentially is happening where they're the lead character.
Right.
You are not the main character.
Right.
You're not. So you're. Things have consequences. Mm-hmm. And you saying something to a person has actual consequences. Things actually happen because you say something to a person.
Also because 9 times out of 10, listen, someone's listening to you. You are being listened to. Your presence is being absorbed. Mm-hmm. And so just because you say something that's really rude doesn't also mean that you could just be like, oh, I'm sorry, and it goes away. There's still
there.
Consequences. Yeah. And like taking advantage of people that are literally laying there on the ground, like you can't do that.
No,
you can't do that and still go like I'm a good person. Yeah. Like nope. No, you're doing bad people choices.
Yes.
Maybe you're not a bad person, but you're making bad choices.
Yes, there we
you
are.
You can change every
you
day.
You aren't a bad person, but you're acting like a bad
yeah,
person.
You're doing behaviors in mm-hmm. which bad things are being done.
Yeah.
And just know you can stop doing that at any time.
Yeah. There's
you can
the
always
moment
stop.
You learn better. It's okay. People, as humans, because we're all humans, we make choices that we think are the best for that moment in time. These can be good choices or bad choices, but in that moment, you make a choice that you believe is the best for that moment. You may learn later that maybe that wasn't the best choice to make in that moment. So then it is a point of learning.
Yeah.
And instead of repeating that action, you change it to then do what is now best for that situation. And that may also mean you have to go back and make amends and do something to then better that previous moment.
Mm-hmm.
It won't change it, but you can do something to make a little bit of a better. And then your job is to continue to do better.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Seems very logical.
Well, it's like, and we get to do that.
We do.
It could just be taken away from us completely, and then, like, we're just riding around in space, doing just on a rock, hurtling through space, and nothing matters. But, like, we don't live in a society that works off of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you live in a society in which your actions, like, reflect upon you, mm-hmm. and then also can hurt other people.
Yeah.
Or benefit other people.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is we, on this podcast especially, are just because of the content, obviously, are talking about the bad choices people make and the negative things and how people affect other people in a negative way. That same energy and effort can also get flipped around to making good choices.
Yeah.
To, you know, picking up the person that doesn't have arms walking up the side of the road instead of driving by. To, you know, like right. calling when you hear something like a crazy sound, like mm-hmm. calling and, you know, getting help or, you know, not choosing to, you know, push someone down the stairs. Like, you know, you don't have the right
blame
to make
owl.
Those choices.
Yeah.
And blame an owl. So it's like, You can do cool shit. You can do cool shit every day. Also, mm-hmm. it is cool to be kind. Like
it is,
and it's cool to also get involved in your own stuff. Like we think so much about other relationships and look so much like there's like I think even like there's that whole thing about like don't look in someone else's bowl unless you're trying to see that it's empty so you can help fill it. Like, not to see that they have more than you or whatever, but just, like, you can be that way, and it is also very cool. Like,
yeah.
you don't have to look in someone else's bowl to make sure that they don't have anything if you don't have anything.
Right.
Like, you can look in someone else's bowl and be like, oh, my God, and, like, try to help, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, you can be other ways. It doesn't have to be the one way. And, like, it doesn't have to all be, like, I make the choices because I don't want to be a shitty person. It's like, I can make choices because it's fun to be cool.
Yeah.
Like a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, I love that. It is. It's cool to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and that being said, there are times we do make the wrong choice. And that's part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But it's about what you do next.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go back because it's cool to be kind. And if you make a bad choice, you do the best you can to fix it and continue to do better. To do better.
Instead of doubling down. And tripling down.
And trip, which happens.
And becoming the Messiah.
I just don't understand. And I mean, everybody, you know, it's also, my brain doesn't function that way. My brain does not function the same way that these people's do. I don't think of people as dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hurt people. And not that they probably, I don't think, hopefully they don't want to hurt people. They're
what
just.
What do you think sex with the Messiah is like? Missionary. Mm. Born. Just.
Silence with slapping.
Complete silence. He's got to be looking in a mirror. Mm.
Yeah.
Or at a picture of like one of those painted pictures of Jesus, you know, like the ones that are, like everyone's
he had it custom made. It looks him.
Here's the thing, guys. I don't think that the Messiah would have sex, and this is based on Christopher Moore's Lamb, which is a fictional book. Guys.
Yeah.
It's a very fictional book. I haven't read it. I recommend it. Love Christopher Moore. He's hilarious. But Lamb is about Jesus Christ's best friend named Biff.
Yeah.
And Biff has to do all the things because Jesus can't.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
So sex with the Messiah would be just sex with his best friend.
Best friend.
So that the Messiah can then learn through his friend.
I get it. Yeah, that'd be such a wild time. I'd be like, God, you look like the other one. You didn't even get to look like anything else. As a Messiah, you got to keep coming back looking like the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Come on. What about her? What if she's the Messiah?
I don't know.
And aren't they, whatever. And they're growing every day.
They are growing every day. Mm. And that's all cults. There's a bunch of cults that are growing every day. Mm-hmm. And high control groups that are growing every day. Whatever you want to fucking call what you are.
So just be, so, like, I guess at the end of the day, let's talk about final sips.
Whole thing is a final sip.
So, I think something to be made important is internet literacy and making sure that you are not like not falling for stuff. Like, there's scams online every single day that are so easy to fall into. I just was showing my partner a video of people that we know portraying certain certain things on, and I was like, oh my God, I think I saw, I like scrolled by it like I think days prior, then finally went back to it, was like, oh my God, I know those two actors like portraying this like sweet moment online, you know, like a lot of those things aren't real.
They're
like,
not. I've done them. They're not real, guys.
Like a lot of those viral videos of like something happening where someone pays for somebody's groceries, like, and like all those things, like a lot of those aren't real and they're made to like get your attention, right? Mm-hmm. Same as like if there's somebody, I think you mentioned this earlier, Nicole. If someone is saying there's like one way to do something or fix something, or like the doctors are lying to you or something like that, like look at, like zoom out, like that is most likely that particular thing is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important to be aware of scams online, and you can usually look at stuff even down to like when I'm on Instagram, I send them to the girls all the time. There's someone that will take a video from another company's like clothing thing. Like, look at this great jumpsuit. And then it's like a total scam website, not real at all. Like, but they're posting that same video from the company that like is like jumpsuit. I'm like, what? As soon as you get to the comments, like just check comments.
Yeah.
Google the company. And if it comes up on like some of these literally come up on like scam websites, they're like, this is a scam. Do not order clothes from these guys. Like, we've all done it. We've all fallen for them. So it's just, it's smart to just make sure you look and look before you leap, and like know that if someone's benefiting off of your patronage and it's not just like a thing that you buy and you take or whatever it is, like they're relying on you for like their business. So like look at why and how. So I don't know. The scam stuff just drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. And that's what this all felt like to me. And I was like, oh, if it seems too good to be true, it's usually gotta be.
Yeah.
That's my final sip.
That's a good final sip. Do you have a final sip?
Just like, don't take advantage of people who are in need or looking for love or help or whatever. Like, if you take advantage of those people, you're a piece of crap human being. And nobody has the right to tell anybody who they are.
Yeah.
Or to even, I mean, we can all try to help make, like, obviously we have so many more words for gender and all of this now that we didn't have many years ago. And, like, that's fine to be able to be like, I'm trying to help people put this into words to help them. But if that word doesn't exist yet, then it doesn't exist yet. And deal with that.
Yeah.
And don't try to put somebody, don't try to pigeonhole somebody into a corner or tell them, you know, well, you have to be this because this does, I don't understand that concept and that doesn't exist. So therefore, it's not real. Oh, just because you say so.
No.
Nicolas?
Oh, sorry. I was trying to find, because I know that there's, like, there's a lot of resources for if you or if someone you know or someone you love is in a situation like this, a way that you can reach out and help. I think that the documentary talks about wantotalkaboutit.com. Mm-hmm. So that's a site that you can, and I'll put these in the resources too in our show notes so you can check them out. But cults are really scary. And like the idea of having a loving community is not scary. And that's how a lot of these will mask themselves. Like Brenna was saying, just like looking out for scams. And we automatically think of the idea of scam as like scam likely calling your phone, right? And, you know, the like super cheesy website that obviously looks fake or like a fake email. But that's not what it always looks like. Sometimes it looks like something completely normal. And it's not until you're in too deep that you realize you've gone into something that might be dangerous or might be upsetting or might be fake. And it's okay to take steps back. It's okay to ask other people an opinion. It's okay to do extra research. There's always more than one option. There's always more than one opinion. You know, even when you go to the doctor and they're like, you should get braces, get a second opinion. You know, like
there's no
one thing.
The sunken cost fallacy, like that whole thing where it's like, I spent so much time doing this thing. Well, now I better follow through. It's like, nah, bitch, no gods, no masters. The sun could explode tomorrow. Just get out of there.
Yeah.
It's way easier said than done.
You can change your mind at any time.
Anytime.
Yeah. Okay.
Anytime. There was, and on the, like, it might seem silly, but for me it was a big deal. On, like, a small level, I watched this video that a librarian made, and she was like, if you start a book and you don't want to finish it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Put it down.
Yeah.
And that's, as a reader, I'm always like, I just got to finish the book, or I just got to finish the movie, I just got to finish it. You know what? You don't.
Mm-mm.
You really don't have to do that. You can end a thing at any time. And when you're married, if you're not happy, you don't have to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can get out of it. If you have a friendship that you're not vibing with anymore, you don't have to stay friends. And that's okay. It's okay for chapters to end. Like we've been saying this whole time, we contain multitudes. And that means that the people around you contain multitudes. And we're all growing and changing every single day. And that is okay. And it's okay to keep learning. And it's okay to keep growing. And it is okay to understand that you can back out of something and that there is more than one option. And if you or someone you know is struggling with this idea, I empower you to seek outside resources and to reach out to other people. We always share a bunch of different resources on our sites if that helps you, you know, lead you in a different direction or somewhere that you want to go. Like, we've got those for you, and I know people around you have them too. And I empower you to be your advocate. Know yourself. Protect yourself. As John Douglas said, the best way to protect yourself from a manipulator is to do a profile on yourself, and that's acknowledging who you are as a person and all the beautiful pieces that go on both sides, the things that make you strong and the things that make you weak. Nothing is wrong with either of those things. They're both a part of you, and it's important to embrace them and understand them. And that's just going to make you a better advocate for yourself and for those around you.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Drop the mic. Get out of there, Nicole.
Yeah, bitch.
Well, thanks. Well, Beans, thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't checked out the documentary we're talking about, Escaping Twin Flames.
Yeah, there's also, if you want to listen to a podcast on Wondery, I listen to it on Wondery Plus app, Stephanie Beatrice, who is Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it's crazy because she's using her real voice. So you're like, who? What? Oh, it is Rosa. They do a really wonderful podcast on it as well. It's a lot of the same information, but just if you're like, I can't watch it because I, like me, drive for a living. Mm-hmm. Well, then get in the car and go
get in the car and listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's me recommending. Okay.
All right, bye. Bye.
Nicole, get us out of here.
Beans, thank you so much. Look forward to sharing more coffee with you and talking about more.
cheers.
And talking about more cases around the Breakfast Nook. Keep joining us here on this lovely podcast that we like to call
Bloody Murder.
Guys, that was awesome.
Nailed it.
Thank you for listening.
listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MourningMurders.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening!
I wasn't quite sure what you were going to pull out of your pocket.
So it's just a hassle.
Someone's going to meet me and take care of me everywhere else I go.
Right.
Yeah.
Meh.
Meh.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
All right.
Well.
That's me.
Cool. So that's you. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah, let's
do this. Let's do this.
Shit.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my.
I started to get sleepy because I got warm.
Beans,
I was like, it's tiring in here. Oh, look at there's Ben the whole time.